We'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer so that you might utilize the time for a rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study truth. It is our prayer the Holy Spirit would guide us in those things we're about to examine. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. The attacks of the first husband, verses 15 through 21, Romans 7, 15. First of all, this first assault on the soul described by Paul begins in verse 15, which reads this way in the New King James Version. For that which I do, I understand not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Verse 15 contains three verbs that mean to do. Each has its own nuance, and I've chosen three appropriate English words to translate them in order to avoid confusion. You will note in the verse that I've just cited, for that which I do, it has an A by it. Therefore, below, you will see A as kat ergadzomai, and we're going to translate it to accomplish. You'll find it as verb number one on your list. I understand not. For that which I do, I understand not. Paul is confused. For what I would, that do I not. That is verb B, proso. We'll translate it to practice. And then, but what I hate, that I do. That's verb C, poieo. We'll translate it to perform. Now let's read the verse in the King James, observing these three translations of a verb that can be translated in every case to do. For that which I accomplish, I understand not. For what I would, that practice I not. But what I hate, that I perform. Point three. The first verb of these three is the present middle indicative of kat ergadzomai, and it means to accomplish something. This verb means to work at something until you accomplish a task. And Paul says, for that which I accomplish, I understand not. He's doing it, but he doesn't understand why he's doing it. Kat ergadzomai is a durative present, sometimes called retroactive progressive. You'll find it in your regular use, first paragraph, subparagraph C. You'll see this consistently throughout, and you can chart it yourself. I won't continue to go over this. I'm just trying to teach you the codes so you can keep up. So this durative present denotes something that happens in the past with results that continue into the present time. So what is this? This first assault, for that which I accomplish, I do not understand. Something has been going on in the past. It continues to be accomplished in the present time. Paul doesn't understand why he does it. So point one, the progressive aspect of the tense shows that the action in question is in a state of progress. Point two, thus the durative says that what works its way out of Paul began in the past and continues to the present in a progressive, ongoing manner. We have here a facilitated wheel track, a behavior pattern, a character trait. Point three. We may insert at this point information which we have gleaned from our study of the theology of neurology. During the period of Paul's first marriage, his sinful nature developed wheel tracks of wickedness which were progressively facilitated into paths of least resistance and which now reveal themselves as behavior patterns and character traits. He does things he doesn't understand why he does. I accomplish certain things and I don't understand it. Middle voice is deponent, active in meaning. Paul produces the action of the verb by exhibiting behavior patterns developed during the first marriage under the authority of the first husband, the sinful nature. and the declarative indicative is a statement of fact. This is the propensity which Paul faces in his post-salvation life. Wheel tracks of wickedness work their way out of him. And therefore, this concept of to accomplish is really to take on a task. It has a beginning, it has a process, and it has a conclusion, a production concept. In fact, we might even translate this as production. He produces work. He has to go through thought process, decision, and action. And therefore, he is producing something which is a behavior pattern. And he does it consistently. It's been going on in the past, and it's going on in the present. And he doesn't understand why he does it. And he's very confused by it, and that comes out in this passage. So point four. As a believer, Paul becomes confused over the fact he continues to behave as a believer in the same manner he did as an unbeliever. Are you? Do you realize that some of the things you developed as behavior patterns in your period of unbelief, you now continue to do as a believer? You do them, and you don't understand why. That was the case for Paul. All of us have behavior patterns and character traits we developed years ago before we were saved. Nothing's done about it. After salvation, you continue to behave this way and facilitate the behavior. And you learn from Scripture that it's wrong, inappropriate, or what have you. You would like to change, but suddenly you find yourself doing it yet once again, and you don't understand why. The reason? It's a path of least resistance. It's who you are, and only the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God can change the way you think. So he confirms this with the negative adverb "u," translated "not," plus the present active indicative of the verb "gnosko." This is verb number two, translated "I do not understand." The negative adverb "u" gives the negative connotation here. I do not understand. So Romans 7:15 so far reads this way. For what I accomplish, that is, what works its way out of me, I do not understand. We have here an aoristic present. This is punctiliar action in present time. That's your special use of the tense, paragraph one, the aoristic present. And this use indicates that on every occasion, Paul accomplishes the behavior pattern developed during his first marriage, and he doesn't understand why he does it. Now, the aoristic present reads this way on your chart. It expresses the idea of punctiliar action in present time and is used for those instances in which an action of present time is conceived without reference to progress. In other words, when Paul does this, suddenly at that point in time, it dawns on him, hey, I've done it again, and he wonders why, and he doesn't understand. So that's your punctiliar action. Every time he realizes he's done it again, he asks himself the question, why did I do that? I don't understand why. We have the active voice. Paul produces the action in status quo carnality. And the declarative indicative is a statement of fact. Point five. Verse 15 begins with the durative present of katergazomai, a behavior pattern that works its way out of Paul. It began in the past, it endures to the present in a progressive manner and persistently occurs. It is an ongoing problem. Now, he doesn't tell us what he's doing that frustrates him. That's between Paul and the Lord. But there is a behavior pattern he has that he continues to repeat, and he doesn't understand why. Point six. Paul indicates that he simply does not understand why such a behavior pattern continues to persist in his life after salvation. Now, this would be frustrating to those who claim that by doing good works, you sanctify yourself. Not a prayer. Good works, those of intrinsic value, are those that are produced, A, under the power of the Holy Spirit, obviously under the filling of the Spirit, and secondly, motivated by the Word of God. The Word of God has to give direction. There has to be some biblical justification for what you do, and once determined, it must be executed under the power of the Spirit. That's called human good, and that is rewardable. And that is the kind of production that the Christian should hope to accomplish, guided by the Word under the power of the Spirit. Therefore, accomplishing good works for the sake of doing good things according to the definitions of men, without any context, without leadership from the Holy Spirit, without guidance from the Word of God, is human works, and they will burn at the evaluation tribunal of Christ. So Paul indicates he simply does not understand why such a behavior pattern continues to persist in his life after salvation. 7. Next, Paul explains the reason for his confusion, beginning with a causal conjunctive particle gar, followed by the present active indicative of the verb thello. This is verb number 3, translated, because what I desire. I do not understand why I'm accomplishing these things, because what I desire to do. Historical present. This is used when a past event is viewed with the vividness of a present occurrence. The active voice, Paul produces the action of desiring to do otherwise. He knows what he's doing now is wrong, inappropriate, sinful. He desires to do otherwise, but he's not doing it. Therefore, this is declarative. It is a statement of historical fact. On these occasions, Paul can remember back how he desired to do differently. He finds out now that he is doing exactly what he desires not to do, and he doesn't understand why. Nevertheless, he has the desire to act and behave differently. That's very important that he has the desire. You can build on that. So point 8. Paul goes all the way back to the moment of his salvation when he changed his mind about Jesus as Messiah. Metanoeo. There was a time when you had no thought about Jesus Christ as being an important personality in your life. He was an historical figure as far as you were concerned. A religious figure that you had heard about from others who were called Christians. An individual that you had heard talked about in jokes or in curses, but you'd never given any serious thought to who and what he was. Therefore, when you go back to the cross, when you go back to your moment of salvation, you remember where you changed your mind about who and what he was. And once you remember that he is the God of the universe, that he took on human form, true humanity, and went through the entire process we reviewed this morning in the Eucharist, when you remember these things, you recognize the fact that he is the only way of eternal salvation. So he goes back to that and remembers where he entered the royal family of God. In point 9, he believed in the Lord for salvation and with the full intent and purpose of serving him. When people believe in Christ, they're struck with the idea that he has become their leader. He is their leader. The individual or individuals who come forward at an evangelistic meeting recognize him as God and Savior. And then they are told very early, your duty now is to serve him. The question that arises is, how do I do that? How do you serve God in a way that he desires to be served? Well, we can always say this, that a person who has been saved has a desire to serve God. He just doesn't know how. That's why he must come to Bible class and be bored. He must learn, first of all, you've got to get control of your soul. You can't always leave it in the rulership of your body and its sinful nature with its trends. You have to gain control of your soul. You have to become disciplined. And in order to do that, you have to have thought that overrides the body. That requires Bible class. It requires you to renovate your soul by the inculcation of truth. And if you want to serve God, you have to learn how to do it. And that means Bible class first. Go to Bible class about 5 years. Stop by the doctor's office on the way. Have him suture your lips. It's like this. When you talk out of the side of your mouth, it's hard to understand. When you suture, and you laugh, and it's a joke, but I'm telling you, it's not a bad idea. 5 years minimum. Just shut up and listen. Don't tell anybody anything. What you're going to tell them will be skewed, wrong, filled with human viewpoint, or what have you. Just learn the Word of God for 5 years, and then remove the sutures, and we'll see how you're doing. Verse 15 begins then with a durative present. And we've seen this with Count Ergodzomai. Behavior pattern works its way out of Paul. It began in the past and endures to the present in a progressive manner. The behavior pattern is established. You see this. And then he explains the reason why he doesn't understand this process. We have fellow, because what I desire, and historical present. He can go back historically to the cross, and he can say, you know, all this time I've desired to serve the Lord, but consistently I fail to do so, and I don't understand why. So Paul goes back to the moment of salvation. He believed in the Lord. He had the intent and purpose of serving Him. It's just not happening. Point 10. This was his desire. But now he finds himself a Christian still doing the things he did before his salvation in status quo unbelief. Status quo unbelief. Now there's some things that you can do and keep private. We're speaking of one in our overall study now that you can do, but you really ought to keep private. And then deal with the Lord as the situation demands. But there's some things a person can do and come back out in public. People have a right to overcome their mistakes. And if you've robbed a bank and you've done your 5 to 7 and they've let you out, where's a good place for you to be? You need to get in Bible class and learn the principles on thou shalt not steal. Learn principles of a capitalistic economy. Learn the concept of ownership of property. Earn the principle that in order for you to be able to function in an open society, you can't take what belongs to other people. They frown on that. And this is all brought out in Scripture. The biblical method or system of economy is free enterprise. And that involves, obviously by definition, the fact that people own things and they get to have them. And this is good. It's good for you to have stuff. You have your own things. And therefore, when someone robs banks, they're taking what belongs to others. And they have to get over that. And if a bank robber comes in here and wants to study Bible doctrine, that ought to be okay. We would not leave the collection lying around unattended. But as long as he minded his manners, he could come in here and learn the Word of God. And it goes for anybody that's involved in some kind of sinful action, sinful behavior. They may not understand it. But the place to learn about it is right here. And the place to get over it is right here. And as long as they mind their manners, nobody's going to say anything. Now, I don't want a show of hands here, but I would be willing to bet in a group as diverse as this and as large as this, I expect we have almost all of our chairs used today, and I expect this study will do something about that. But if we could pass around a piece of paper and write down the crimes that you've committed, we'd have a pretty good list. You don't believe that? Well, let's go all the way back, guys. Let's go all the way back. And that's what Paul does. You know, I want to go back to the cross. At that point, you know, I had a desire to serve God. And that it's just not happening. And I don't understand it. So 11, Paul does not understand this behavior, especially in view of his desire to do otherwise. Romans 7:15. For what I accomplish, kater godzomai, what works its way out of me, I do not understand, gnosko. Because what I desire, that's fellow. Verb number 3, point 12. The pronoun what refers to the behavior pattern which Paul desires to practice. Because what I desire. What is the what? To serve God. To do the right thing. To function under wheel tracks of righteousness, to be a person who is honorable, a person of integrity. That's what he desires to do because that would serve God. It ain't happening, but that's what he desires to do. 13. Paul is aware of the details associated with executing the Christian way of life. You go to Bible class long enough, you pick up the details, you could pass a test on this. You could do it out of fellowship just by a simple recall. What are the things we need to do to execute the Christian way of life? We have to we have to know we have two power options. We can have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can acquire power through Bible study. We have these two options. And then we can facilitate these into skills, spiritual skills. We can become involved in being filled with the Holy Spirit on a consistent basis by consistent use of rebound. We can grow in grace by consistently attending Bible class or using electronic devices to grow in grace. And we can facilitate biblical problem-solving devices that become paths of least resistance that we utilize under pressure rather than going back to what we used to rely on as unbelievers that usually cropped up from the sinful nature's inventory of problem-solving devices. We know about these things. Therefore, this system is the kind of system that must be utilized if the believer is going to produce divine good. Divine good comes through this system. And we know the system. You all know this system. The question that arises, do you find yourself in pressure situations? Do you find yourself at a family reunion? Do you find yourself at work? Do you find yourself on the freeway? Do you find yourself at home with the children? Do you find yourself in some social world deal? Do you find yourself in some situation where, without warning, something crops up? And you immediately respond in the way you used to do it. And it turns out that you back off and say, you know, I just lost control there. I shouldn't have said those things. And you have to go apologize and do the little tap dance, get everything rearranged. And then you get to yourself and you say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. And so what are you saying to yourself? I have a desire to use biblical problem-solving devices. I have a desire to serve God, to represent Him in a professional manner, and I didn't do it today. And I don't understand why. But when we finish this section of Scripture, you will. It's just who you are. That's who you are. Put people under pressure, you'll find out who they are. At least that day. It doesn't mean they can't change. It doesn't mean that through spiritual growth they won't overcome these things. But that day, that's who they were. You can't deny what you do. You make the choice. You make the decision. There's a behavior pattern in there somewhere that got called up and utilized. And as you think in your soul, so are you. 14. But these behaviors are not consistently operational in Paul's life. He knows them, but they're not consistent in application. And he indicates such with another pronoun referring to those things he desires to do, the plural demonstrative pronoun houtos, translated these things, along with the negative adverb ou, translated not, plus the present active indicative of the verb proso, verb number 4. These things I am not practicing. We translate this verb to do, practice. So proso, these things. Let me read it again. For what I accomplish, what works its way out of me, I do not understand, because what I desire, these things I am not practicing. And this proso is a tendential present. It is used for action which is proposed or attempted but not taking place. Proposed or attempted but not taking place. And we've studied that one, by the way. We had that in Romans 7:14. It is number 4 under special uses. It represents the idea of that which is intended or inclined to occur and that which tends toward realization. Has a tendency to do the right thing on occasion, but it is tendential. He does it. He does the right thing on occasion. Has a trend, has a tendency that is developing there. He's facilitating the wheel track, but it's not a path of least resistance yet. His tendency is to go carnal, as we learn from verse 14. So we have a tendential present used for action which is proposed or attempted, but it's not taking place. So he has this desire. Active voice, Paul has a tendency and a trend which does not produce divine good, but rather sin, human good, and evil. And that's his tendency. Indicative mood is potential. It indicates the element of contingency, which introduces the concept of free will as being the culprit for the fact he desires to do these things, but he's not practicing them. Romans 7:15 in corrected translation, "For what I accomplish, kot ergodzomai, what works its way out of me," is a good way to describe kot ergodzomai in this context. It is something that works its way out of it. It is a wheel track facilitated, and under certain circumstances it comes out and it produces itself out there. And the way we're translating it is, he accomplishes this work. This work is accomplished right out of his thought process. "For what I accomplish, what works its way out of me, I do not understand, because what I desire, these things I am not practicing." Point 15. Now back in verse 14, Paul wrote, "I am carnal," using the verb eimi in the tendential present. You recall that from our previous studies. This reveals that Paul was not carnal when he wrote the book of Romans, but he had a tendency and a trend toward being so, a tendency and a trend toward being carnal. Now, point 16. In verse 15, the tendential present of proso plus the negative ou indicates that as Paul writes Romans, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He desires to do those things common to the Christian way of life, but he has a tendency to do quite the opposite. And he's writing about all of this. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He is tangentially carnal. But he's telling about when I am out there functioning in life and circumstances arise, I accomplish things I don't understand. And what I really desire to do, I find out that I am not doing. And that's proso. And that's tendential. And he desires to do those things common to the Christian way of life, but he has a tendency to do quite the opposite. 17, the potential indicative of proso tells us that Paul's carnal wheel tracks may be reasonably expected to occur, although it is not necessary for them to do so. But you can expect it. It's not necessary because volition can override. But you can expect that under certain circumstances, you can bet money on the fact Paul is going to do the wrong thing. Circumstances will dictate it. In certain circumstances, this is the way I think, this is the way I respond or react. I've always done it that way. It's a path of least resistance. And almost without thinking, under given circumstances, that's what I do. And after I do it, I don't understand it because that's not my desire. 18. Paul now amplifies his frustration by setting up a contrast between what he desires to do as the wife of the second marriage. We are wives, each one of us who are in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is head of the church. And according to Romans 7, we're in a new marriage, and we have a new husband and a new authority. It is Jesus Christ. He is the leader. And therefore, as members of his body, we therefore respond to our husband as wives respond to their husbands, biblically speaking, not in reality. The wives say, "You know, I shouldn't have said that. You know, I know that I'm supposed to submit to this deal, but I'm just not able to do it. I don't understand it." You know that drill. But in the reality of the biblical analysis, wives submit to the authority of their husbands in the corporate relationship of marriage. They might not want to. He might not be worth responding to. That's not their job. The wife's job is to serve Christ, not bicker and whine that she married the wrong guy or he's mean or he's acting ugly or what have you. Just do your duty. God will take care of the details. No extra charge. Now, with that idea brought over, this idea brought over to our relationship with Christ, we take the position of the wife and we respond to his authority and his leadership and his mandates. And when we do that, we're doing our duty. Now, Paul is frustrated because here he is as a wife in a second marriage not responding to the delegated authority, the designated authority of Jesus Christ. So he amplifies his frustration by setting up a contrast. And the contrast is between what he desires to do as the wife of the second marriage and what he actually does in his ménage à trois. that with his first husband. Now this ménage à trois is referred to by the pronoun has, translated what, followed by the present active indicative of the verb meseo, and it can be translated to hate, or it can be translated to detest, and the best translation is the latter. He detests this. Present tense is descriptive, that which is now going on. It presents to the mind a picture of events as in the process of occurrence, some pictorial present. You got a picture of events in the process of occurrence. And what is in the process of occurrence? He is detesting the fact he can't do right. Detests it. And it's ongoing. He detests it. And before you know it, when you're in a situation similar to this, and you don't have the doctrine to overcome what you know is wrong, you can't put a handle on it, you can't get control of your own soul, you detest the behavior, and ultimately you go into depression, they call it. Active voice, the attitude the positive believer should have toward his ménage à trois with the first husband, is to be repulsed by it to the point of detestation. That's the right attitude. He does have the right attitude about this. He detests his behavior. He detests the fact that he can't do those things that he desires to do. So he's doing a lot of detesting here. And I don't think hatred is the word. We're not going to assign hatred to it. But he detests the fact that he can't behave. Indicative mood is potential, showing contingency. Whether the believer is actually disgusted by his behavior is dependent upon his volition. Some people are hardened. Therefore, in carnality, the believer should be disgusted to the point of rebound. But in reversionism, his insensitivity reaches the point of callousness. And some people get past the point of no return to where they don't have any morals. They have no guidance. Their conscience doesn't function. There was a guy on television the other night that killed his children and stacked them up like cordwood. Seemed to be fine with him at the time. Some people just get that way. And people are astounded. How could this occur? Let's assume this guy was a believer. Who knows? In reversionism, his insensitivity reached the point of callousness. And by the way, his neighbor said he was a nice, quiet guy. 19. Next comes another pronoun, which introduces Paul's behavior during the ménage à trois. It's houtos, translated these things. It refers to wheel tracks of wickedness which are acted upon during the time of spiritual adultery. It is followed by the present active indicative of the verb poieo, and it means to continue performing. Poieo is a durative present or retroactive progressive, action in progress or in a state of persistence. It denotes what has begun in the past and continues to the present, thus indicating strong linear action or facilitated wheel tracks of wickedness, which is a path of least resistance. These are therefore facilitated wheel tracks. The active voice, the carnal believer, produces the action by becoming involved in a spiritual ménage à trois. Indicative mood is declarative, a statement of biblical reality for believers in status quo carnality. This is what happens when you're in status quo carnality. Point 20. We're now able to develop a corrected and expanded translation of Romans 7, verse 15. For what I continue to accomplish, kater gadzomai. In other words, what works its way out of me, on each occasion, I do not understand. On every occasion this happens, I do not understand. That's gnosko. Because what I desire on such occasions, thelo, these things I have a tendency not to practice, proso. But what I keep on detesting, meseo, I continue to perform, poieo. He's in a dilemma. And I suggest that we get into this same dilemma on occasion. And the reason for it is this is who we are. We're not schizophrenic. We're not Sybil. We're people with a sinful nature. And we get out of control on occasion because we submit to the allurements of the first husband. And when we do, we commit a spiritual ménage à trois. Romans 7:15, without commentary, for what I continue to accomplish, what works its way out of me, on each occasion I do not understand, because what I desire on such occasions, these things I have a tendency not to practice, but what I keep on detesting, I continue to perform. We'll note principles on verse 15, beginning with our study on Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the power of the Word. We thank you for the ability to look into your Scriptures and to do so in such a way that we discover buried treasure. We are sitting on treasure. And if we can concentrate, pay attention, seek to use our processes of neurology, the Holy Spirit can teach us phenomenal things. And what it will ultimately do is expose into the clear light of day as to who and what we really are. The Word of God is designed to unearth our true thought processes, show it in the light of divine evaluation, and challenge us to do better. May this challenge, this passage be such a challenge, and may it motivate and encourage us to pursue truth so that in the end we would gain control of our soul, its thought processes, and ultimately our behavior, so that we might become good soldiers for Christ, front rankers in the advancing group of volunteers who have come to Christ and therefore have joined His phalanx, moving forward toward the objective. These are the places we desire to go, and if we can use your Word and the power of the Spirit to overcome ourselves, we therefore may accomplish this objective to the glory of Christ. We lift our prayer in His name. Karishumen kai arene, plethun thae en epinosai. Tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.